The book of Jeremiah can be divided into three major portions from chapter 1 right on to chapter 39 and chapter 40 to 45 and chapter 46 right on to 52. It's one of those books that are quite difficult to divide, especially because it's a collection of prophecies that are not really arranged in chronological order. But what we can trace from Jeremiah chapter 1 to chapter 39 is all the prophecies that lead right up to the fall of Jerusalem. And then, in the middle section from chapter 40 to 45, we see a few occurrences that took place after Jerusalem fell to Babylon. And the final chapters from 46 right on to 52 are various prophecies about all the various nations around them, nine nations altogether, from where Jeremiah prophesied a judgment that comes upon them. So as we look at the book of Jeremiah, let's take note that Jeremiah's life and his ministry was fulfilled in the reigns of about five kings. And all those kings are noted here in this book. They are Josiah, Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah. Five of them spanning a ministry of about 40 years. And Jeremiah is a powerful book in itself, in that it speaks about the 11th hour. Jeremiah was the 11th hour prophet. God sent him at a time when when Jerusalem was about to fall, and his ministry covered the fall of Jerusalem and a little bit after the fall of Jerusalem. So Jeremiah was given a very, very difficult task, a difficult work, a difficult ministry. He was called of God to the people of God who at the 11th hour were still not turning to God. He was like the voice calling at midnight, calling unto the people to turn unto the Lord. And he was surrounded by a group of Israelites and people who did not want to turn to the Lord. It was not an easy ministry. In a sense, Jeremiah's ministry was not, quote-unquote, successful in terms of the response he gets from people. Instead of getting a response from the people where they start turning to the Lord and having a great revival, they rejected Jeremiah, they rejected the Lord, they turned against the Lord, and they did many things to him. They tried to put him to death, they persecuted him, they wanted to kill him, then they imprisoned him, and they captured him, they did all kinds of things to him. 11th hour prophets. We are living in the 11th hour before Jesus comes. And so there is a tie between our times and the time of Jeremiah that we want to show. But first of all, we want to generally look into this book. And as we mentioned, this is a survey of the book. And when it's a long book, we cannot go into that much of chapter by chapter detail. But we pick up themes in each section. So from chapter 1 to 39 in the book of Jeremiah, we have the prophecies leading to the fall of Jerusalem. First, the main prophecy, and he had only one main prophecy to the people in Jerusalem and Judah, that is that destruction was coming. And he specified that it was coming from the north. He told them about the tremendous destruction that was to come, warned the people to turn to the Lord. But when he gave such a hard prophecy, now sometimes prophecy can be quite hard to deliver, especially if it's a stern prophecy. Especially if it's a prophecy of doom. Sometimes people think that prophets must be qualify as prophets of doom. And a lot of people have only doomsday prophecy. All they have is telling people about the bad things that are about to come, the bad things that are about to come. Incidentally, even though Jeremiah was quote-unquote a doomsday prophet, he told about the good things that will also come. It was not all doom and death. There was also restoration and life. And let's look at this man Jeremiah whom God chose. When God wanted a person to give a very hard message, God chose a very tender person, Jeremiah. And we are going to see him twice, in Jeremiah and in the book of Lamentations. So let's look at Jeremiah the person first in chapter 1. Verse 7, when the Lord called him. Says, but the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. So I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to pull, root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. God gave him prophetic words to speak forth, to utter forth. And here we see one of the first considerations is that Jeremiah was just a youth when God called him. A young man. And Jeremiah was telling the Lord, Lord, I'm too young. And sometimes that's the cry of many people. Sometimes people say, I'm too young. And then others say, I'm too old. And then those in the middle said, I'm too busy. So God is wondering when He can call us. There is always an excuse not to serve the Lord. God chose Jeremiah when he was young, and he is a youth. That is the first thing to see. Because God wanted to mold him from the very beginning. As God has spoken to him, he has been chosen even from the womb. And God has started working upon his life, preparing him for the most difficult message. Why was it difficult? It's easy to do a ministry and then reap the success of it. But it's difficult to do a ministry knowing that the people are not going to respond. And God has to prepare Jeremiah from his youth. And many times he makes statements that show forth his utter grief. We will look at that in the book of Lamentations. The second consideration of Jeremiah, the person, the prophet, is in chapter 4. We see part of his heart. Jeremiah chapter 4. And that's right. We look. Let's look for chapter 9, verse 1. That's right. There's a clear-cut one that we want. It says there, oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. The second consideration of the person whom God chose was that Jeremiah was so tender-hearted that while he was delivering such a hard prophecy. See, many times people think that when they deliver judgmental prophecy, they must be judgmental. They have the right prophecy, but they have the wrong spirit. Prophecy is to comfort, exhort, edify. It is not to destroy, annihilate, and consume. So what Jeremiah did was not to just speak the words of prophecy, but he had to have the right spirit, the heart of God. And here is one thing where people who are always saying that God is a big man upstairs, and all the time he is always having something ready to knock us when we make a mistake. And The impression that people have of the Old Testament revelation of God is that God was just a God of judgment, and all the time He has a few lightnings in His hand, all ready to throw it down the moment we make an error. But the revelation of God in the Bible is also a God of love. It's also a God who loves His people. It's a Father God, and it's a revelation of the heart of God, that tenderness that God has. Every time God gives judgment, God weeps. If there is such a thing as God weeping. But perhaps that could be a bit strong for some of us to swallow and say, oh, how can God cry? Then we use the another word, God grieves. God grieves. Some of us think that when God gives judgment, He's happy. And He says, oh, come on, let's get that one. Let's get the other one. And we're thinking God is happy giving judgment. But I can assure you, God in the Old Testament is still Papa God. No real father who loves their children, corrects, trains, and disciplines the children with joy, in a sense, or with happiness, or with pleasure. It's always with grief. You ask any real father who really loves their children, that when their children do wrong, they know the children needs discipline and training, that it's not easy for them to whack the children. Of course, I know that some parents who don't really walk with the Lord and thinking very selfish parents, they say, why you do that? And there's no feeling. But I'm talking about real people who have a heart of a father or a mother. And when God has to pronounce judgment on Jerusalem and Judah, all of heaven was in grief. And God has to choose someone to reflect what He felt. Remember that when God anoints you and chooses you, He demands that your entire life becomes a reflection of the message. We have to be the message before we speak the message. This is not the first time. If you remember one of the first judgments that occur in the book of Genesis chapter 6. The flood. The great flood that came upon this whole earth, where only Noah and his family were saved. 8 souls were saved in the ark. You read very carefully in Genesis chapter 6. It says, God was grieved. And you will always find that throughout the entire Old Testament. God always shows forth that He experienced grief. We always think about the wrath and the judgment of God. We forget about the grief that comes in God's heart with the judgment. So He chose Jeremiah to reflect what he really felt. And so what Jeremiah did was not come to the people and say, listen, God is going to pour judgment. Understand judgment. A kind of fire brimstone prophet. Somehow that kind of message, that judgment given that way, turns people off than, rather than on. But Jeremiah came weeping, and he said his whole head is like waters. He's just weeping, and he said, God is gonna destroy all of you. And it hits the people more. People say, why are you crying? Because God is going to destroy all of you. He told the Israelites. He is known as the weeping prophet, a tender hearted person. The third thing, before we look into the book proper, in chapter 16, verse 2. Chapter 16, verse 2. The Lord places a condition on His life and ministry. It says, you shall not take a wife, nor shall you have sons or daughters in this place.